write riddles, Bible riddles, and I don't know how many I've got, seven or 800 of them I think I've got now, but and I brought a couple on Wednesday nights at home. They don't like me telling jokes because I'm not very good at it. I guess the punchlines and stuff, they would hide my joke books and things. So I started writing riddles, and then I have candy bars, and I go through four riddles every Wednesday night. The first one that guesses the riddle gets a candy bar, and I forgot to bring a couple candy bars, but I don't think that would be very good. So if your preacher has any back, I'll make sure I have some then. But I was trying to make a game out of it. Pardon? There, hey, that's better than the Tic Tac. So, if you want to, that's fine. I could do that. All right. There you go. There's for smarties here. So, I guess there's these Altoids too. No. I have riddles. I have different categories. Of course, where am I? Who am I? What book am I? I got five categories or six categories. Anyway, numbers, where I just give numbers and things. But tonight, I did bring a few of them, and the category is who am I? Who am I? And what I do, what we do there is I'll give a riddle, I'll give a clue, and if you guess and you make a guess and it isn't right, then you got to sit out till the next riddle and things. So it makes a little bit more, they don't want to jump in because each clue I give certainly gives them a little bit better chance. So we'll give you one here. This one here is probably one of the easier ones. But who am I? Who am I? All right, so here we go. Clue number one is people came to me for judgment. People came to me for judgment. I sang a song to the Lord on the day he helped me, and Barak defeat Jabin, king of Canaan. He helped me defeat Barak. Deborah, very good. Yep. You want one of these smarties? Give me one later. All right, here we go. Who am I? I'm only mentioned in one chapter of the Bible. I lived in the valley of Sorek. The lords of the Philistines used me to find out how to weaken a mighty man. No? I was the first one to afflict Samson once his head was shaved. I hear something starting to beep. Delilah, yep. You want one of these since you gave them to me? So we got one more so that whoever gets this one, you can have two. All right. So, all right, here we go. This is the easiest one of all. I was a Carmelite. My wife was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Nope. I was a keeper of sheep. I was churlish and evil in my doings. Well, I thought it was, but when you're seeing the answer, it makes it, and when you're right, it's even easier, but churlish and evil in my doings. Here's another one. The news my wife gave me caused me, my heart to die. The news my wife gave me caused my heart to die. Yep. What's his name? You remember? My wife described me to David as a man of Belial. No, it starts with an M, though. In. Nabal. Yep. So, but at any rate, so now you had some riddles and stuff. So, trying to make a game of it and such, but I have never figured out how to do it. To do that, but I've got enough of them to do a game. But thought about like a map to heaven or something, where you win a big Bible verses or different riddles and stuff, and have the new Jerusalem, up there floating above the earth or whatever. But anyway, All right, go to Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah. You can have these Smarties back if you want to. There you go. You might need them on the way home. But Nehemiah, I love Nehemiah. I love the book of Nehemiah. There's so much good in it. And I'm going to, there's not really an introduction tonight. I'm going to get right into what I want to show you here. I think one of the things that is missing, it being Nehemiah chapter number 8, what will be, I think one of the things that is hurting us in America today is the fact of the attitude of that we have with the Word of God. Nehemiah here, you got to understand that they found the scrolls, they found these things, and you remember Jerusalem had been destroyed and things. And so here I'm going to show you the attitude of the Jews here in Nehemiah's day here when they heard that there were the words of God. They found the Word of God and things. I want to show you this here because I believe this. If we can get back to this, I think we can have a revival in America. To where we fall this much in love with the Word of God. It's amazing. This book is more prevalent in the United States of America than any other book in the United States. In the United States, it's one of the top sellers. Probably every home, or almost every home, would probably have one. You go to the hospitals, and they have at least copies of something that says the Bible, whether it's the right one or not, I don't know. Some of them do. By the way, the Gideons are getting back to that in things, which is a good thing. So you could go just about anywhere. Even a hotel room would open up the drawer when you're looking for bed bugs before you get in there. Look in there, and you'll find a Bible. Open it up, make sure and shake it, make sure there's some bed bugs in the Bible. But it's prevalent. It's prevalent in America. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I believe that we've kind of lost the appreciation and the love for the Word of God in things. So I'm going to show you here in Nehemiah. We're going to go through this here in several of these. The attitude here of the people about the Word of God. And I'm going to show you these. Well, like I said, there's no introduction. Just going to get right into it here. Tonight. So let's pray and we'll get started. All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, please just bless now, I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray you guide me and direct me and help me to give your people, Lord, what they need. Please, Lord, I've been praying about this. I believe this is what you want me to give them. Lord, please direct me now. Please, I pray. I thank you for all you do and all you're going to do. I pray all this, Lord, in the authority of your name and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me go through some of these points here in Nehemiah. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 8, if you would. Verse number 1 of chapter number 8. And it says, and all the people gathered themselves together, look at this, as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe, look at this, this is what they wanted, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So we see here the people wanted to hear the word of God so much that they were gathering as one man to hear the word of God. Now think about that for a minute. We go to church, and most of us in here, if you were to take a poll here or any other church in America today or wherever, and you would ask them, you know, why am I going to church? Why am I going to church? And some might say, well, for fellowship or to worship or just various things, you know, and things for encouragement or encourage somebody else or whatever. And the truth of the matter is, everybody comes for different reasons and things, but there's one reason why all of us ought to come, and we all ought to have this same thing in common, is the fact that we get to hear the Word of God preached and taught. You know, it's amazing. You know, I don't know about you, but there is no way anybody, we can agree on everything in here. No, there's no way we can. But there is one thing we can agree on. We could all come to church with the attitude of saying, hey, I want to hear the Word of God. I want the words of God to be taught. And that's what happened here in Nehemiah's day. The walls had been built. They're getting ready. And they're saying, you know what? We want to hear the Word of God. All of them came as one man. All of them came, kind of like in the book of Acts when they were in one accord. All of them came as one man for the purpose of hearing the Word of God. Boy, wouldn't that be something if we all had that kind of attitude when we showed up in church. Man, I'm so excited to come. I wanted to come because I want to know more about the Lord. I want to know more about this book. I want to study this book. I want to learn more about this book. And what a beautiful thing that would be. Then if you skip on down to verse number 5, the Bible says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, look at this, all the people stood up. You notice it didn't say here that Nehemiah said, shall we all stand for the reading of the Word of God? Nehemiah didn't say that there. You know, as soon as he opened the book, the people, out of respect for the Word of God, stood up. You know, we make a to-do about standing for the flag and putting your hand over your heart when the national anthem is sung. And truth of the matter is, that's good, and we ought to do that. We ought to have respect in things for the flag and for what it stands for and for those that have been fallen and serving our country and giving us the freedoms and things. We ought to have that. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to not have to be prodded when the Word of God is even open to stand. It ought to just be something we do. But we don't, do it. We don't do it. These people wanted and respected the Word of God so much that as soon as the book was open, they stood on their feet. Look at verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and what? Worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You see something here that I think is interesting? You know that here they worshiped the Lord? You know was not present at this time? You don't see music here until several chapters later before they actually ordained music in the services. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God was enough for people, once it was read, that they would worship the Lord? When they heard the words of God taught, when they heard the words of God preached, they didn't have to have music. They didn't have to have all those preliminaries. All they needed was to hear the Word of God read and taught. Think about that for a minute. There are a lot of people that would be bored stiff and couldn't worship if their life depended upon it, if they didn't have the music that they have to listen to. The churches that say, well, we got to have that kind of music, worldly music or the worship music the and stuff in order to worship. They didn't hear. It's because they loved the Word of God so much. They had so much respect for the Word of God. When they heard the words of God proclaimed, they worshiped God. You know, truth of the matter, look, why wouldn't we worship God? When we hear John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, man, that ought to thrill us enough to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that one day I heard that. One day I heard that salvation was free. I heard that, and I thank God that you saved my soul that day. Well, that's all we ought to need. We don't have to have the music. We shouldn't have to have music to worship the Lord. These people, when they heard the words, they bowed their heads and worshiped. Think about having that kind of reverence for the Word of God. Think about what it meant to them to have that, and how it would just be. I told our people, I said, you know, we ought to be ready to receive the word of God when we walk in that door, or that door, wherever door this is here. We shouldn't have to have any preliminaries. You know, most of the music and stuff that in the churches today, they're designed, at least this is what they taught us in college, is to prepare the people for the message. Why is that? If we really had the right attitude toward the Word of God, if we really loved the Word of God, why would we need music to prepare our hearts? These people were excited enough. They stood when the book was open, and when they heard the words of God, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. Let's go on. Let me show you something now. Look at verse number 9. And Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. Now, why did he say that? Look at this. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. All the people wept. Think about that. When's the last time in your Bible time, as you were reading the Word of God, and when was the last time that you wept? As you read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As you read some of the beautiful verses at John 3:16, and read, we're saved by grace, through faith, and it's not of works. When's the last time as you think about and you read in Revelation about the new heaven and the new earth and how beautiful it is, and the gates are 12 gates made of a pearl, one pearl per gate. Can you imagine the size of that pearl? Man, that oyster had to do an awful lot of work. Can you imagine when you read the beauty of what we got coming? You imagine, it ought to bring tears to our eyes when we read 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 through 50 and so, as we look at the fact that we're no longer going to have this body of ours, that we're going to have the celestial body, we're going to be and how that that we have a victory over death. It ought to bring tears to our eyes as we think about a God who loved us enough to give us this book, a God who loves it enough to give us a Savior. Before even the world was even created, he had it designed. You think about that for a minute. You realize before God even created man, he already knew what man was going to do. And he already had a plan for their salvation. It's in the book. When's the last time when you opened this book and you read these words that some tears came down your eyes? This book ought to mean something. This book, you realize this book is being attacked in our Christian world today more than anything else? This book, these people here were in love with this book. And the reason why is they didn't have it for a while. Sometimes, I told our people, I said, if we don't watch it, God's going to take this book away from us so that we'll appreciate it more. Then what will we do? There are people in other countries, in communist countries and places like that, where if they just had one page of this, they'd almost die for it. And they take it and they read it and they read it and they read it and they memorize it and they read it and they read it and they memorize it. And I guarantee you they shed tears of joy. Look on. Look at verse number 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth. Why? Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. That word understand means there to separate mentally, to distinguish these words. In other words, they went away rejoicing because they actually were able to learn this book. They were able to understand. They were able to comprehend this book. Think about that. How many times have we walked away from a service and the preacher was up there or the Sunday school lesson was given, how many times have we walked away and when we left we're thinking, you know, I really don't understand what was said. These people said, man, this is great because I get it. It's kind of like, I love little kids, you know, and they're learning and stuff, you know, and they're learning things, and all of a sudden you're trying to teach them something, and all of a sudden they get it, and the light comes on, you know, they're just all bright-eyed and stuff. Wow. You know what, that's the way it ought to be with us, with this book. That'll be it. You get in your Bible in the morning, or whenever you read it, and you ask God to guide you, to direct you, to lead you, to help you to understand His Word and give you what you need to be a better servant and to know Him more. And then as you read it and God opens something up that you've never seen before, you gotta say, wow, this is good. This is good. And these people, they were happy. They were joyful. They were rejoicing the fact that they understood what was declared unto them. But then look at verse number 13. Look at verse number 13. It says, on the second day were gathered together chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe. So they're all gathered together, but these are the religious leaders. Why were they doing that? Look at this infinitive here. Even to what? Understand the words of the law. Now that word understand there, you know what that means? It means to learn so that they can teach others. To learn it in such a way that they can teach others. That's what that means. In other words, the scribes, the religious leaders all got together for a preaching conference. But it wasn't the conference to talk about their churches and to talk about, how they're doing and what they're running and this and that and everything else. It was for the fact that they wanted to be able to learn this book more and so well that they could go back and teach those that are under their leadership. We're missing that today. I can get to the point in today. I'm at a point where I can't. It's hard for me to even go to a lot of conferences and stuff anymore. Because when preachers get together, it's this braggadocious stuff, and think, man, I want to go to hear the Bible. I want to go hear the preaching. I need it. I want to go to get that so that I help equip me to help those that the Lord has given me to pastor. That's what it ought to be for. And that's what happened here. They saw the people, and they saw all the people and how they'd all come in one accord to learn the word. And as they taught it, they saw the people as they wept. And they saw the people as they rejoiced, leaving, thinking, wow, they understood. The lights came up. You know, I taught for a Christian school as a principal and taught at a Christian school for a couple of years. And it is a joy as a teacher when you're teaching and you see a kid get it. It is a joy. You know, and there's no doubt that was happening here. And so then, the leaders, religious leaders then got together and said, hey, let's get together, let's study this some more. Let's study this some more so that we can get this down well enough so that we can teach these people that want to hear the word. Many times the reason why preachers have a harder time with this is because they don't know it enough to be able to teach it in a level that everybody can understand. They just kind of skim over. It's because they're not versed enough. And we need to get to a point in our life where even the preachers and stuff ought to know what they're preaching and teaching so well that they can teach it in a level so that everybody can understand. At all levels of the Christian walk. That's what it ought to be. But then look at verse number 18. Look what else. also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And look at this, they what? Kept the feast 7 days. On the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Now you see they started to obey the word. They were doing what was said in the law. You know, how many times do we sit there and we read the word or we hear the word taught and it's in here just black and white? But we just flippantly just throw it aside and not obey. I'm not saying there's nobody could be perfect. We all mess up. We all sin. I'm not talking about that. But we all ought to have the attitude is, I want to obey. I want to do right. I want to do what this book says. That ought to be our attitude. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect because no one is. But we ought to, when that's said, we ought to have that attitude is, hey, I want to do that. I want to do what this book says. And these people we see now, they've come to a point in their life where they've learned it. Now they're saying, now I've learned it, now I got to obey it. Isn't that what was it in James where we're talking about being the hearer and doer, sort of word? It's both. There's a lot of people that have it here, but they're not doing it. And it's the doing many times that helps you get it here. And once it's here, you're going to see what happens here in chapter number 9, verse number 1. Look at this. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. Now you see the changed hearts of a humble, humble servant of God. And that's what the Word of God will do. That's what it'll do. It all starts with the desire to want to hear it. An appreciation, a love to say, you know what, I want to know this book. And then coming to church saying, that's what I'm going to come for that. And then having that respect for this book. More so than we do our own flag. And then when we hear the words that ought to bother us so much, it ought to change us so much, and we ought to see, get excited and worship God. And then we ought to be weeping and crying. Some of these words ought to touch our heart so much. And then we ought to walk away from here thinking and praising God when God does show something to us and we finally get it. And then we ought to start obeying it. And as we obey it, then God humbles us and he changes us and it becomes part of us. And we become what others should be calling us, a Christian. You see, if you have to identify as a Christian, and you're probably, especially somebody who knows you, you're probably not acting like a Christian. Because in the Bible, they were called Christians first at Antioch. They didn't call themselves that. But they were called that because they were acting like little Christ. I think we've got to get back to this book. I'm not talking about just reading it, but where you fall in love with this book. Where you don't just read it saying, okay, I'm going to read it today. I'm going to get my Bible reading in today. Where you say, no, this is God's love letter to me. This is his instruction manual to me. If I want to know God more, I can know more God more by reading this book. These words are him. You realize Jesus was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us? You want to know more about Jesus? Know this book. Know this book. And you'll get to know him more. And you'll get to know him more. And this book will be something that you will not want to do without every day. Do without every day. And it can change you. It can change you. And humble you and help you have a better appreciation of who the Lord is and what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do for us. Let's have this same attitude of the people here in Nehemiah's day. Hey, let's don't take and wait until God takes our Bible and there is no open vision before we get that appreciation for this book. It is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tool, if you want to call it that. I call it more of a love letter for us that God has given to us. You know, the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. So that's what the Holy Spirit uses. That's his weapon. So you know what? I think we ought to want to know more about it. I think we want to get into it more, because as we're in it is when the Holy Spirit then can help us and guide us and give us what we need. Let's fall in love with this book again. I think we could see a revival in our churches today if we could do that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, Nehemiah's day was such a great time, and Lord, there's so much that went on here. Lord, so many things here that we take and we use that was found right here in the scriptures here in Nehemiah. A pulpit that's higher than the people. The standing of the reading of the Word of God. Lord, there's so much here. But Lord, please help us to get that love, that desire to know your Word, to understand your Word, to obey your Word. Live your Word. Lord, please make it a part of us. Bless, I pray, please. All stand, our heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know if you usually have an invitation on Wednesday night or not, but the invitation's open. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you opened this book and just saw something and it just melted your heart? You got excited about what you read. Wow, that was good. Wow, I've never seen that before. Or is it just something you do to mark off your list? Let's fall in love with this book. The altar's open. Piano's going to play. If God has opened your heart and you want to come and do business with him, you're welcome to come. Let's fall in love with this book again. Open this book up every day. It ought to be one of the first things that we do when we get up. We ought to love it so much that we ought to not want to make, we ought to want to make sure that we don't miss one thing. We don't want to miss one day of this book. That's what it ought to be. The sad thing is, many of us will go 2 or 3 days, a week, without even opening it. And we wonder why the churches are the way they are today, why there's not people being saved like they should be today, why we don't have the revival that we ought to have. Fall in love with this book.
I've seen that. They go around 3, 4, 5 times until they get what they want. But we love offering. We appreciate it. Coming here tonight. That was Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for what you gave us. For appreciate everybody coming tonight. Be sure to check whether any